Amen. Well, welcome everyone. Thank you, band and Tim, and all those who've already just helped us hear and pray and lean into something of this wonderful prayer from Matthew 6 that we've been thinking about. And we're coming to the end of this series in the Lord's Prayer, to the last part of it, the last line in Matthew 6:13. We looked last week at "Lead us not into temptation," and today we're thinking about "But deliver us from the evil one." And I want to do something a bit different this morning. I don't know whether what follows is going to feel more like a talk or like a prayer, but I do know this, that my preparation for this message came alive as I was praying for you and for us as a church this week. As I wasn't just preparing this talk, but I was trying to pray this talk. You know, I guess perhaps all prayers on the Lord's Prayer are like an extension of the prayer in some way or another. But I want you to know I felt that keenly this week. I do not know everything going on in your life right now, but I do believe that God does. And I know enough of you well enough to know that there are many struggles in this room. Many fears, temptations, addictions, doubts. Different battles for different ones of us. And even if you're here this morning and you don't believe in God, you might be aware of those struggles in your life and those around you. And I wonder, have you ever thought, why do so many of us, all of us really, at different times, why is life such a struggle? And the Bible says that ultimately our struggle is not against people, though you might think you're struggling with people at the moment. But ultimately our struggle is not against people. It's with spiritual forces of evil. And I found that this bit from the films for the Alpha course, which we run here, I found this so helpful. I'm just going to show you a minute of it now as we continue on. Thank you so much.
I've always believed in the power of evil. But now I realize that if there's a power of evil, it's only logical to believe in a power of good.
Some people find it very easy to believe in evil and the devil. William Peter Blatty, who wrote the screenplay for The Exorcist, said this: "As far as God goes, I'm a non-believer. But when it comes to the devil, well, that's something else. The devil keeps advertising. The devil does lots of commercials."
Yeah, the Apostle Paul speaks about spiritual forces of evil that are at work in the world today. And the claim in the New Testament is that just as behind good is God himself, so behind evil is the devil. Now, that might sound a bit far-fetched, but for some, it's easier to believe in the devil than it is to believe in God.
Did you get that? Behind everything good in our world is God. And behind everything evil is the devil, the evil one that the Bible describes. And actually, sometimes those times when we are not aware or mindful of the fact that there is evil at work in our world is when we are most in danger. You probably don't have to look far in the news, whether you're looking at that meeting recently between North Korea and Russia and some of the evil atrocities that are coming out of those nations, or whether you're watching the way things have happened over many, many months and years of atrocities in the Middle East, or you see the greed of multinational companies that are trying to prey on our young people and on so many others for their own sakes. There are forces of evil in this world. So I've been praying for us. I've been praying for you. I've been praying for your family and friends. I've been praying for those who know God and those who don't. And as we were thinking last Sunday, and I believe this, Tim said it was so helpful to us to remember that we are weak. We are in a battle and we are weak, and so we need help. And we pray. We pray, God, save us. God, help us. God, deliver us. And that's the first thing I want us to kind of press into or pray into. God, save us. And we remember that it's an us thing. Deliver us from evil. Help us is the cry that we're crying today. You know, we are not the only ones who are struggling. We've just been remembering that as we remember those who are persecuted around our world. And yeah, we cry out for, even as we've been preparing, those places of like North Korea, Lord, please for our brothers and sisters there, and for those in Somalia and Iran. Those three nations have been so much on my heart. But you know, it's not just that we join with others around the world in praying that prayer, but the enemy's strategy is so often to make you think you're the only one struggling in this church. The only one under a kind of spiritual battle. And in fact, for many, he tries to kind of isolate us. To get us to stop kind of gathering with others where we sing together and pray together. Whether that be on a Sunday in our gatherings or whether it be in our communities. Have you noticed his strategy to try and keep you from those things? For the enemy to come in and, as it were, isolate. Like I grew up in Africa, and in fact, my journey to school used to, you could either take the road or you could go through the game park. That was one way you could go to school. And the way that kind of predators hunt prey is they try and isolate it from the flock and then they pounce. The enemy trying to isolate you at the moment. Maybe you're watching online. I've been praying for you. I'm so pleased you're watching, but I'm also concerned that you might be getting isolated, and I'm praying, God, would you find places of community? Or maybe you're here. I'm so pleased you're here, but I know for many, increasingly, there can be a kind of coming and gathering with God's people is a bit of an irregularity. It's so great you're here, but maybe you've fallen out the habit. And again, I'm praying, God, would you work to help us see that we're in this together. That we're not unaware of the devil's schemes. Why does the Bible say don't give up meeting together? Because the enemy wants us to give up meeting together. And we're protected as we come together and pray together. Lord, deliver us from evil. God, would you save us and help us? And help us remember not just that we connected with our brothers and sisters around the world or with others here in this city, but we're picking up the baton from a great company of hosts who've been praying this prayer down through the ages, the centuries, the millennia. You know, back 3,000 years ago, the psalmist wrote this in Psalm 118, verse 25, Lord, save us. It's a kind of massive theme of so much of the Old Testament. Back in the time of Moses, it was the cry of God's people under the oppression of Pharaoh. They were trapped, they were oppressed, they were slaves, and they cried out, and God heard them. Hallelujah, God heard them, and he brought and raised up Moses to help deliver them. And remember, and maybe you've never heard this wonderful story, I'd encourage you to read it in the early chapters of Exodus. And you know, Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. And so God, in amazing power, brought plagues one after another until Pharaoh realized God was more powerful than he was. And he finally said, okay then, you can go. Be gone. And so the people, they're free. They kind of wander away from Egypt into the kind of heading to this place of freedom. And yet, after they've gone, Pharaoh says, no, I want them back. And so he's after them. And he chases them. And that is what the enemy like. He doesn't like giving up those who are trapped. And so he's after them. And actually he catches up with them just as they're by the Red Sea. And they feel trapped on one side by the Red Sea and by this army pursuing them. And maybe you feel like that sometimes. Maybe you feel like you've tasted something of freedom. You know something of freedom. But then you feel like the enemy's coming after you again. And you've got the Red Sea on one side and the army on the other, as it were. And you feel overwhelmed. And you don't know which way to turn or which way to go. You feel overwhelmed at times. Trapped again. Or maybe you feel like you're still back in Egypt crying out, God, would you help me? will listen to the words of Moses that he said to the people there at the Red Sea in Exodus 14, 13 and 14. Moses answered the people, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still," because he, as we've been singing, is bigger than any scheme of the enemy to take you out, to destroy your faith, to discourage you or overwhelm you. And so I again just want to pray in here. I pray, Lord, for any here who are overwhelmed by fear right now. I pray for any who feel like what they're going through is too big for them and they don't know which way to turn. Lord, I pray that you would raise up from within us people who stand firm, people who know that the Lord fights for us and that God will bring deliverance. Do you need his deliverance? So we pray, God, deliver us from evil. God, save us. Help us, we pray. You know, Jesus, he taught us this prayer, but he also taught us that as we pray it, we would see his kingdom come. We would see that church growing and spreading as we have done around the world through history. But he also told us this, that there will be persecution. Just as we've been thinking about in many of these countries. But I want to bring it home for us. I think many of us feel in this nation, in this city, the intimidation of the enemy to try and silence us, to try and destroy faith, to try and go after our young people and even one another in this room. I think we are aware of what Jesus told us would happen, that because of the increase in wickedness, the love of many would grow cold. I think we're aware of that kind of opposition that is there. We're aware of ideologies that seek to persecute and intimidate faith in Christ. And I want to say, I think that will increase in the years ahead. But brothers and sisters, let's not be afraid. Don't be afraid. The one who is with us is greater than the one who stands against us. You know, I think of the words of the Apostle Paul, who said this in 2 Thessalonians 3, chapter 2, verse 3. Said, "Pray for us that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith." But, read this verse 3 with me. "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." I remember learning that. Maybe you need to learn it. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, "The Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one," that you might be able to pray it over your life, your family, over us as a church, over us as a city. I just want to pray again. Maybe you could join me in your heart. God, would you deliver us from the schemes of the enemy that are trying to intimidate people in this room today, in the lives of our young people and children, maybe those here, or maybe even most for those not here. God, we pray against the schemes of the enemy. We praise you that you are faithful and you will strengthen and protect them from the evil one, God. God, would you do that today? God, would you do that tomorrow? God, would you help them? God, would you come and make us bold in prayer, for we believe you are greater, Almighty God, than anything that comes against us. Lord, would you give us courage to stand and to speak and to pray? God, please, I pray for this church that we would be a beacon of light, faithful because you are faithful. Lord, please, for any who are struggling right now, Lord, would you come in your power, I pray, and strengthen and protect them from the evil one. Please, God. Amen. You know, I love the Psalms. Encourage you, pray the Lord's Prayer each day. I like Tim, I've done it for some time now. I try and do it as soon as I'm conscious in the morning before I even get out of bed. And then when I get out of bed, the first thing I read is the Psalms. The Psalms are full of this theme. I could have listed so many. You know, David says, if you don't have to get very far into them, Psalm 3, you know, arise, Lord, deliver me, strike all my enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked. And I've had moments this week where I'm like, enemy, we're coming after you. You know, God's with us, and we're going to pray boldly that you back off our city. You back off our young people. You back off. Because we have the Almighty God. Arise, Lord, deliver us. Oh, our God, strike our enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked. I love Psalm 6. Lord, deliver us, save us because of your unfailing love. The love of God is what people need. The love of God is what's upon us that we might bring it. People don't know the amazing love of God. But as I think about David praying these prayers, I think of David's testimony. You remember how he fought Goliath. And David knew that God does not negotiate with evil. That's not the way God delivers us from evil. He doesn't say, okay, how much do you need? Okay, well, let's see what we can do. Okay, well, we'll see if we got something. Right, okay, we'll make a negotiation. He doesn't do that. The Lord God Almighty doesn't negotiate with evil. He destroys it. He destroys it. When you read the Bible, you see that evil has an origin and evil has an end. It is only God who is from everlasting to everlasting. But the Bible does give us that real picture that in this time we live in, evil and good are mixed up in our lives and hearts. In the church, in your life and my life. It's very easy to think, oh, they're a bad person, but bad people can do good things. That sometimes is surprising. But what's more surprising, although the Bible says we shouldn't be surprised by it, is when good people do bad things. And David in the Psalms, he isn't just saying, God, would you deliver me from evil out there? David in the Psalms, he's saying, well, like this in Psalm 51, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. Guilt and shame are real battles and struggles. The enemy is one who is the father of lies. He's the accuser. But part of the reason he can accuse us because he latches onto the truth that there is sin and wickedness in our lives and in our past. And so how does God deliver us from evil? How can he destroy evil without destroying us, without destroying those that we love? Well, that brings us to the big story of the Bible, the story that kind of story of Exodus is like a picture from, the story that there'll be a promised deliverer, not Moses, greater than Moses, the story that there would be one called the Messiah or the deliverer or the Christ who would come and bring freedom from oppression, deliverance for the captives, victory over evil. And so we don't just say and seek God's help, saying, God, save us. We celebrate God's victory as we've been doing today. And this cry, Hosanna, is like a prayer. And it's actually taken like from Psalm 118. It means save, or God, save us. And yet it's what they cried as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. They kind of sensed was there that this was the Messiah come. And so they cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. Would you say with me, Hosanna? 1, 2, 3. Hosanna. It's a cry of victory. Save us, God. But you have. Hallelujah. He saved us. It's the cry of the church. Persecuted though it may be. So how does this victory come about? How does it look? How did he do that? How did he manage to deliver us from evil without destroying the very people in whom evil dwells? Well, he did it in a very surprising way, in a way that looked like evil had won, in a way that looked like weakness, in a way that looked like a criminal dying on a cross, in a way whereby the perfect one, the Prince of Heaven who'd come into our world, took my sin and your sin, took the evil, as it were, upon himself and the punishment for that evil on himself. But at the cross, the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians 2, he disarmed the forces of evil and the devil and made a public spectacle on them by triumphing over the cross. How did that happen? What was going on there that meant the cross was such a great victory? Well, again, you have to look back in this big story. Remember, evil had an origin. And even in the devil himself, you can read of how he fell from heaven and he came to earth to try and take over and deceive and bring his kingdom here. And in many ways, we see that in the world, the kingdom of darkness. It's real. But what happened is, even at that very time, there was one promised who would come and destroy Satan's work. And all through history, through the Old Testament, he's pointed to. And then he comes, the King of Heaven, the King of Light, comes into our world. And through his miracles and deliverance, you see him pushing back the forces of evil and the destruction and damage that it's caused. And the enemy always causes destruction and damage. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life, and your children might have life, and their children might have life, and life to the full. And so Jesus comes, and he pushes back the forces of darkness. But here's the problem. When the people came out of Egypt, they got away from Pharaoh, and they even got through the Red Sea. But as they went on, there was some bigger thing that they needed delivering from than just getting them out of Egypt. They needed Egypt to be got out of their hearts. And what Jesus does at the cross is he does a work of renewing your heart. He does a work of saying to the enemy, right, this one is sealed with the blood of Christ, with the forgiveness that I have paid for, and now I can put my spirit, the spirit of the living God, in them. The spirit who will help them live for me, in my kingdom. When they pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, I've put my spirit to help them do that. And so the kingdom of darkness is disarmed and pushed back because the decisive victory has been won. I don't know if a few weeks back you saw the celebrations for D-Day, the 80th anniversary of D-Day. An amazing moment in the Second World War. 80 years ago, June the 6th, 1944, they'd been waiting and waiting and waiting for this moment. And then they came. They came over the horizon and in such amazing show of power that they pushed back Nazi Germany's forces off the beaches in Normandy. And that kind of decisive moment was a turning point in the war. It was like they are here and they are moving forward. And you know, that was really the point when, well, one of the key points in the war where you could say that was the turning point. And yet it wasn't the war was over. It was the decisive victory, but it wasn't until some months later where you had VE Day, the celebrations that victory was there in Europe, that it had been won. And imagine if you were a soldier and you thought, well, that's great. D-Day's happened, decisive victory, we're going to win it now, so we're all going to stop fighting. Imagine that. That would not have been good because the battle had kind of been won, but the victory was won, but the battle was continuing in terms of like the mopping up exercise. And brothers and sisters, we live in the same kind of time. The decisive battle has been won at the cross. And yet we now live in this time where we're involved with Jesus in the kind of mopping up exercise about kind of claiming what is his in our world, about coming and bringing freedom, about joining in this surprising way, this topsy-turvy way of the kingdom, whereby as we serve, as we love, as we forgive, as we pray, his kingdom advances in our world. But the end is sure. The end is sure. Jesus has won the victory through his death and resurrection. He will come one day and end all evil. I heard someone once say, next time the enemy reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. And it's not a pretty future for him, and he knows it. And that is why this prayer ends with praise. You know, if you'd been listening to Jesus on the mountainside, you'd have gone home and said, okay, let's pray this prayer. And you would have ended it. As all the people that were listening to Jesus, the people of God had learned through many years to end their prayers with praise, with words like what we were just saying and singing, the kind of words that are sometimes called like the doxology. You know, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever and ever. Amen. It was what people did. And so some of the early manuscripts, not all of them, that's why it's not in all the Bibles, but if you look at the NIV footnote, some of them actually have this, because the likelihood is that even though Jesus might not have specifically said, this is how you should pray, that is what they would have done, because that is how they prayed. And it's appropriate to sound a note of faith and confidence and boldness as we end. Again, we come and we don't just say this, we want to pray it. Yours is the kingdom. God, there is no king like you, no one who's going to reign. We're coming up to elections, Lord, but there is none who's going to have an eternal kingdom like yours. And so, God, we pray, may your kingdom come even now, this Sunday, this service. Lord, we pray that you would give each one of us a fresh longing to be in that kingdom, to live in that kingdom, to see others come into that kingdom, for that kingdom to come more fully in our city and our nation. Please, Lord, yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, Lord. Yours is the power. May we know more of your power in our lives. Lord, I long for more of your power for each and every one here, for your church in our city and nation and the nations. Lord, that power that spoke creation into existence, the power that's bigger than galaxies and black holes, Lord, we long for more of your power, that power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that brings healing and freedom, the power that knows no equal. Jesus, yours is the power and the authority. We pray, Lord, your will be done. We align ourselves with you even today. Lord, we know you have power to deliver, to save, to help. We praise your powerful name, Lord. Yours is the power, and yours is the glory, Lord. There's none like you, Lord. Nothing more wonderful or beautiful or glorious than you. We long to see more of your glory, Lord. Let your glory fall in this place. Lord, open our eyes to see the glory of God in the face of Christ, we ask. Lord, may there be people even this morning who say, I once was blind, but now I see that Jesus is the King of glory, the Deliverer, the Christ, the Savior, the Lord. To him be all the glory and praise forever. Lord, that is a long time, but it's a wonderful, wonderful security to know that you reign and have power and glory forever. Our future is secure. Hallelujah, Lord. No wonder the psalmist says he delivered me from all my fears, because his future is secure. Lord, as we meditate on your eternal greatness, your eternal kingdom, Lord, bring a great freedom from fear. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Yes, I agree. Do you agree? Yes. Lord, we agree. Build our faith, birth our faith even now. And just with every head bowed, and maybe you could bow your head. you didn't come knowing you were in that kingdom of light, maybe you've felt like you're in a kingdom of darkness. Maybe you've been drifting from the Lord or even struggling to think, is he real? I want to pray right now for you that you would come from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Would you echo this prayer with me in your heart? Lord Jesus, I believe you are the deliverer. I repent. I turn to you. I turn from darkness to light. I pray your kingdom come. Your will be done. Lord, deliver us from evil. And help me live and walk with you, Jesus. Be my King, my Savior. And with every head bowed, if you prayed that this morning, would you just raise your hand this morning here so I can see you? I'd love to catch you at the door. I'm seeing a few hands go up. Lord, you know every heart and what's going on, but Lord, I pray for those who are just turning to you. Lord, bring your freedom. And Lord, I pray too for maybe many of us or even all of us who know some struggle we're facing at the moment. Maybe it's for us, maybe it's for someone we love. And I just want you to think of where that battle is. You know, God knows every one of us here. And just think, what do you need to pray? Deliver us from evil over at the moment. What situation, what person, what people? And maybe you could just put your hands out in front of you and just with that situation or person in your mind, let us just pray even together that last line from the Lord's Prayer. We pray together, deliver us from evil. We pray it again, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. And with that even situation in your hands and heart, we declare the doxology over it, that last line of praise. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's continue to praise the Lord. Becca and the band are going to come and do that for us. And as we stand, let's continue to pray in our hearts and praise God with our lives.